tonight to Philippians chapter number 2. Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Let me get it right in a minute. Galatians chapter number 2. Are you glad he touched you?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you're visiting with us, let me just tell you a little bit about who we are. We're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. We're not a bunch of people looking down pointed noses thinking we're better than somebody else. We've come to grip with the facts that that we're better than nobody else. Amen. We just got God in our heart. That's all. Amen. The only difference between me and somebody on their way to hell, I've just been forgiven for my sin. Amen. I've just been and asked forgiveness for what I've done. You're sitting in a room tonight with drug addicts, alcoholics, adulterers, jailbirds. You didn't know that, did you? Amen. You sitting in the building with some pretty rough crowd tonight. But Jesus came by one day and touched them. Amen. Their family after family, when they came here, the husband and wife were already separated, gave up. And one of the other said, hey, let's try church. Let's try church. But church didn't fix them. But the builder of the church did. The church didn't do it. The church was just a conduit that Jesus worked through to reach them. Amen. So don't want you to think we're sitting in a building. I don't want you to think you're sitting in a building tonight where people are judging you. We're not doing that. We're just glad you're here. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2. And I'm going to try to preach really, really quick tonight. And we'll get to the baptism, okay? But I believe it's what the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at that little phrase tonight in verse number 12 where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now listen, we're living in a day, and this is the Christian life. I'm going to give it to you. We're on our way to heaven when we die. Our sins have been forgiven, but we're still walking around in a body of flesh. Amen. My soul saved, but the flesh is not. This skin is not. It's going to rot in the ground unless I go by the way of the rapture. So what I'm trying to say is we still have trouble. We still have problems. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, I'm afraid if I got saved, I couldn't live it. Guess what? You just joined the Can't Live It Club with me. Amen? Amen. It doesn't seem, no matter how hard I try, I still mess up. I still let the Lord down. Amen. But I'm glad I've got him. He doesn't disown me when I mess up. Amen. You know what he does? He forgives me again and again and again and again. Man, just somebody said, well, if you get saved, there's some of them TV preachers, they'll tell you if you'll trust Christ and send them $20, you won't never have no more trouble. That's a lie.
Amen.
Job said, man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. There are going to be problems, but now the only difference in my problems when I was lost and my problems when I'm saved, now I got somebody to help me with my trouble. Amen. I got somebody to help me when my marriage is on the rocks. I got somebody to help me when I'm trying to raise my children. I got a God that loves me enough that he's interested in my life. Amen. So I want you to understand some things about salvation. I want you to notice that salvation is a gift. When Paul said, work out your own salvation, he did not mean work for your salvation. Are you listening? He did not mean work for your salvation. Salvation is a gift.
Amen.
Salvation, let me say it again. Salvation, Ephesians chapter number 2 says, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me? A gift is something that somebody else bought and purchased.
Amen.
Amen. And then it's your job to accept the gift.
Amen.
You got to understand that. It's your job to accept the gift. I want you to notice that salvation is a gift. It's free. Well, I'm afraid I couldn't be good enough. That's why he died for you.
Amen.
Because you can't be good enough. That's why salvation is a gift. Thank God. I don't know if I got any money in my pocket. Yeah, I got it right here. Brother Charles said, you got it. You want that dollar?
Yes, please.
Now, I earned this dollar. It's my dollar, and I can do with it what I want, can I? Well, I'll tell you what I want to do with it. I want to give it to you. But I'm going to put it right there. And it's up to you what you do with it. Not real smart, are you? It's up to you what you do with it. Do you want the dollar? Come get it. Micah, look at there. There you go, Micah. Amen. Salvation is a gift. It is given of the Lord, but it must be accepted. When I got in from that funeral this afternoon, my head is hurting. I mean, banging, banging, banging. I was in a horse arena all day yesterday with dust, and my head's all stopped up. I went home, and in the cabinet, in the pantry, in my kitchen, is one of them big old fat bottles of big Walmart value thing of Advil. And I knew, sitting on the couch, I knew what that Advil does. It fixes headaches. If I go in there and take me three of them things and drink a glass of water, I'll be feeling better here directly. By the way, my headache went away. But for my headache to go away, the Advil was there. It was already bought. It was already paid for. And I knew exactly where it was. But I had to get my lazy rear end up off the couch. My wife wasn't there, and I couldn't say, honey, get me some Advil. That's how I'd have done it had she been home. And according to what day of the week it is, she's liable to say, get it yourself. Amen. But I got up off the couch, and I walked into the kitchen, and I opened the pantry, and I got the Advil, and I took the lid off. I put them in my hand, and I put them in my mouth, and I took some water, and I swallowed the Advil, and would you believe it? The headache went away. Yeah. Amen. Them Advil was not going to come in to be by, what you call that, metamorphosis or whatever it is, osmosis, some kind of something. It wasn't just going to, it wasn't going to work its way into me by itself. In other words, I'm saying salvation is a gift, but that gift must be accepted.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, if Jesus died for me, then I want to accept him.
Amen.
You see, before you leave the church tonight, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to accept him or you're going to reject him. One of the two. We're going to give an invitation, give you an opportunity to accept him or reject him. You say, preacher, I've been saved a long time. Why do I need to hear a salvation message? You need to be reminded of the gift God gave you. You need to be reminded of the gift God gave you. The gift of salvation. Hallelujah. It's a gift that has been provided. What Jesus did, somebody said, well, I think there's many ways to get to heaven. Not according to this book. Not according to this book. If there's many ways, why did Jesus have to die?
Amen.
Remember Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross of Calvary. He looked at his Father or prayed to the Father and he said, if it be thy will, I pray thee, let this cup pass from me. What cup? What was in the cup? My sin and your sin and everybody else's sin, past, present, and future. He said, in other words, Jesus was saying, Father, if there is a way around this, if there is another option, I would rather not go take the beating. I would rather not have the nails driven through my hands and my feet. I would rather not be hung naked with a crown of thorns on my head for the world to see. If there is another way, Father, couldn't we go that way?
Amen.
Nevertheless, if there ain't no other way, I'll go. Jesus went to Calvary and died because there was no other way. There had to be blood shed to cover man's sin. And their only innocent blood had to be God's blood. Amen. If man had died for man, it would have just been impure blood trying to cover the sin of more. Impure blood. But Jesus was perfect. And Jesus was sinless. Amen. Because he's God's own dear son. And he provided that gift for you. Now listen, I can sacrifice a little bit for my children and work a little extra and work hard and buy them something they want. And it really blesses their heart when I do that. And they're thankful, and so are my grandchildren. But listen, man, I have never, ever died for anybody. Man, you got to think about the magnitude of the gift. Man, when y'all gave me that pistol on Pastor Appreciation, Brother Charles, that took my breath away. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to just grab it and start shooting it. Amen. I was just blown away. But that is nothing compared to what Jesus. We need to understand the magnitude of the gift.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He not only took care of every sin I ever did commit, He took care of every sin I ever will commit.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you let none of this religious crowd try to convince you that they don't sin.
Amen, preacher.
A little fella my brother plays music with, they got to discussing it one day. And matter of fact, he's my half-brother, so on my brother's other side of the family, it's his cousin. And they driving down the road going to play music somewhere, and they got to talking about sin. And this boy looked at my brother and said, "I'll have you know I never sin." John said, "I have you know you just did." Because that's a big fat lie you just told. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Every one of us sinned, and Jesus died and shed His blood to pay for that sin. Thank God. That salvation is provided. It's provided. It's a gift. That salvation is not only provided, but it's personal. It's personal. You ever heard somebody use the term a personal relationship with Jesus? I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I know Him, and He knows me. Amen. I met a lady in Louisiana. She wanted me to be real impressed because she knew them duck people. Them duck dynasty people. I preach right there in that same town. And she goes to church with them. She wanted me to know and be impressed that Phil Robertson baptized her in the river behind his house. I'm glad you got baptized, but whoopee. Amen. I think they're funny. Amen. But hey, I know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She said, "I know Phil Robertson." I said, "I got one up on you there, sister. I know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just talked to Him a while ago." Yes. Hey, He's got me on a first name basis. Amen.
Amen.
He said, "Work out your own salvation." It's my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Salvation is the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. Man, Jesus wants to cleanse you of your sin that you might have a home in heaven when you die.
Amen.
Amen. I just don't know many people that with a brain that would say, "I don't want to go to heaven when I die.
Right.
I'd rather just go to hell and burn forever."
Yeah,
well, that's what you'll do.
Amen.
That's what you'll do. I thought about Angus Young. We used to listen to AC/DC when I was a teenager, real loud. Somebody said, "Why you preach so loud?" I've always liked it loud, man.
Yeah.
Man, we was riding around the plaza listening to AC. We went both ways. We listened to rock and roll and country. One minute it'd be Hank Jr. and the next minute it was AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd. But I remember old Angus Young, well, AC/DC sung that song, Brother Freddie, "I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. Hey, mama, look at me. No stop sign, no speed limit. I'm on the highway to hell." You know what they sung over his grave? "I'm on the highway to hell." I bet in hell he lifted his eyes just like that rich man in the Bible and said, "No, no, guys, no. No, you don't want to come here. You don't want no part of this place. If heaven is an option, take it. Take it, take it, take it." Had a young lady in my mother's Sunday school class years ago. Years ago. She stood up while my mother was teaching, crossed her arms. She said, "I don't believe none of this. What if you're wrong?" My mother said, "All right. What if I'm wrong? What if there is no heaven? What if there is no hell? And when you die, you just rot in the ground. That's the end of it." She said, "I've lived a good life. I've helped a lot of people along the way. I've raised my children to be moral and decent. If I die, I've lost nothing. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? And you die and find out that there is a heaven and there is a hell. What have you lost?" And the little girl started crying and she said, "Everything." And got saved right there. Trusted Christ as her Savior right there in that class. Amen. Salvation is a gift. It's been provided and it's personal. Amen. You can know Christ on a personal level. What happened when Scott trusted Christ? All he did was ask the Lord to forgive him of his sin. Come in his heart and be his Savior. That's all he did. I mean, it ain't rocket science.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said one time that we practice easy believism. It is easy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I know what they're talking about, and we don't do that. One, two, three, repeat after me. That ain't, man, we want people to be serious with God. Be serious about where they're going to spend eternity. Amen? But it is easy. Getting saved is the easiest thing I ever done. Living for Him ain't so easy. That's a job. That's something I have to work at day in, day out. Controlling my temper, controlling my tongue, controlling my thoughts. That's a job, man. The Apostle Paul in Romans wrote 13 books of the Bible. He had trouble with it. Amen. So we're all going to have trouble with it. The gift of salvation. I want you to notice the goal of salvation. The goal of salvation. Look back at verse number 12. I want you to notice where that little phrase where he says, work out your own salvation. I want you to notice that work out. I want you to notice that little phrase, work out. It doesn't say work for again. It says work out. In other words, when you work something out, you're getting the most out of it you can.
That's right.
Amen. Work it out is a mining term.
Amen.
If you strike gold, you're going to get all the gold. You work it out of the ground.
Yes.
You want to get everything out of that vein that's there. Are y'all listening to me? If you strike oil, you want to get all the oil out of the ground that's there.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Why take part of the gold and not get it all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I've thought about it. Sweetwater Creek runs through the end of my property down there, Brother Tommy. That's where they struck gold off that vein right there, right down here in Villa Rica, I guess 1800s. I want to get me one of them pans and go down there and swirl that around. Amen. Hey, that stuff might have washed down the creek. You can't ever tell. Amen. And if I find one rock, guess what? I'm finna get wet. Because I'm going after another one. And if I find another one, I'm going after another one. And another one, and another one, and another one. Why? It's there.
You're right.
Amen. So what I'm saying is God wants you to get everything out of salvation you can.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember when I got saved, man, I raised in a Baptist church all my life. I was told you've got to believe this and you've got to believe that. I got saved. I got a Bible and started reading it. I said, God, I want it all. It's kind of like going to Six Flags, paying $60, whatever it is, to get it. That's a ripoff. And then $4, they get me sidetracked. $4 for a Coca-Cola. You crazy if you pay for it.
Right.
Amen. Anyway, it's like going to Six Flags, paying all that money to get in. I'm riding everything in there.
Yes, sir.
I pay that kind of money. I'm getting on the kiddie rides. I'm riding Thomas the Train. I'm doing it all.
Yeah.
I paid $60 to get in this joint. Buddy, I'm... Me and Thomas the Train, whoop, whoop, we gonna get it on, amen. Hey, when I got saved, I told God I want it all. I said, God, if healing is real, I want it. I'd seen them preachers do it on TV. I always thought it was fake. You ever seen them, one of them faith healers, and he's wearing glasses? Got false teeth. I thought, man, why didn't you bop yourself on the head, man?
Amen.
I did. I prayed. I said, God, if it's real, I want to do it. I remember a friend of mine had died, got killed in a car wreck, and we went to the funeral home. I ain't been saved no time, just maybe a month or two. And I hung around the funeral home, waited everybody left. I walked in there where he was. I looked. I put my hand on his chest. I said, rise up and walk. You know what happened? Nothing. I said, okay, God. I just thought, God, give it a try, amen. Just in case. I mean, just young and naive. Hey, I want everything God has to offer. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that there's a gift He had for me and I didn't unwrap it. Man, my wife goes to wrapping presents at Christmas. Listen to me. When she goes to wrapping presents at Christmas, I'll get it out in a minute. Brother, I go over and look at every one of them. She puts them little tags on there and it says, Hayden, Jonah, Caroline, Hayden, Joan, Caroline, grandbabies. I mean, just learning. I thought, man, there's got to be one in here with my name on it somewhere. I finally find that one that says Eddie. She bought me new cowboy boots this year and hit them. I didn't even know I had a present. She knew if I shook that box, I'd know exactly what was in there. But I find that thing with my name on it. See if it moves, slides around. Try to figure it out. Lift that paper up on the edge.
Yeah, come on.
What it is, that's my gift.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with waiting on it.
Amen.
Amen. I understand the concept of Christmas and giving a gift, but I'm looking at it. It's mine. You done paid for it. It's got my name on it. I want it now. And that's the way I was when I got saved, man. I said, God, whatever it is you've got for me, I want it. Now, some stuff he's given me along the way that when I first got saved, I wasn't ready for. Amen. I'm glad God's a whole lot smarter than I am.
Amen.
I'm sure I'm glad he didn't give me this a month after I got saved. I'd commit suicide. Amen. There's some things you have to grow into. But God wants you to have everything he has to offer. Old John R. Rice said he dreamed a dream one time and said he died and went to heaven. And he said, as far as you could see behind the throne of God were gifts wrapped with ribbons and bows, the most beautiful wrapping paper he'd ever seen. And he asked the Lord, he said, what are all these gifts? He said, that's all the things I had for my children, and they never came to claim.
Amen.
God wants you to get everything out of salvation you can get. He wants to do a work in you. And he wants to do a work through you.
Amen.
God wants to do something. Listen, when I got saved, people think, well, when you get saved, you got to quit cussing, you got to quit drinking. Yeah, that comes. And it isn't that you got to quit. All of a sudden, you'll want to.
That's right.
All of a sudden, you'll want to. Amen. Every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. But, man, I didn't even know what was going on. Something was happening inside me. It bothered me when I took the Lord's name in vain. You say you took the Lord's name in vain after you got saved? I sure did. Some of you probably did it today.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Come on, bro.
Amen,
preacher. Oh, my God. You know what that is? That's you might as well have said the other.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Same difference. Amen. Y'all all right?
Amen.
But all of a sudden, the desire of that was gone. I had a lot of bitterness in my heart. I didn't even like the people at church. We went to church that first Sunday. I got saved on a Friday night in the preacher's front yard. We went to church that Sunday morning. I started looking around that building. If it had been the week before, I'd have sat there and elbowed my wife and said, see that guy? I hate his guts.
You're right, preacher.
See that guy over there? He ain't nothing but a flat-footed hypocrite. I hate his guts.
You're right, preacher.
But we sat down in there, and I poked my wife. I said, you see that guy? I love him.
Yeah. Amen.
What I didn't understand was God was doing a work in me.
Amen.
Had no idea he had in mind to do one through me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God wants to work on the inside. A lot of times we get sidetracked and worrying about what's going on the outside.
Amen.
Do you know God's more interested in your heart than he is your hairdo?
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know some preachers, all they talk about is how a woman dresses, where somebody's got a body piercing or a tattoo. Hey, man, hey, I don't care if there's a mark on the outside. I just want to know if it's clean on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. I remember one time we were standing in the parking lot at White Oak Church where I grew up. Brother Earl Partain was our pastor, and one of the men standing there said, Brother Earl, he said, I've heard you preach on everything under the sun other than tattoos. Why come you ain't never preached on tattoos? Brother Earl unbuttoned his collar. He was in the Navy before he got saved, brother, his arm. He had big old tattoos. He said, I feel kind of bad. Yeah. Amen, brother. Hey, listen, we're not interested in that. We're interested in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We just want to know when we get to heaven, you're going to be there.
Amen.
God wants to do a work in you. And when you get saved, it isn't something I had to try to do. It just started happening.
Yeah. You're right, preacher. It did.
The Holy Ghost moved down on the inside of me.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one day, a friend of mine, he goes to a Pentecostal church, and I love him. We buddies, and we disagree on a couple of things. That's all right. We're going to spend forever in heaven together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. If he's saved and I'm saved,
right.
Y'all all right? Hey, some Baptist going to be in shock when you get to heaven.
Yeah. You're right.
They're here? Amen. Some of the most famous preachers that ever lived. Baptist preachers get up and talk about them. Use them as illustrations. They wasn't Baptist.
You're right. Amen.
Dale Moody wasn't a Baptist.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
We ain't interested in denomination.
That's right, preacher.
We're interested in relationship. Do you know him?
Amen.
One night a mama was reading her little girl. She was reading her little girl nursery rhymes. And then before she went to sleep, they was going to say their prayers, and she'd been reading through the Bible to her daughter, and she was in the book of Revelation. And she got to that part where it said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And she stopped, and she looked at her little girl. She said, Honey, if Jesus was to knock on your door, would you let him in? She said, Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Amen. Listen, if he were to knock at your heart tonight, would you let him in?
Amen.
Would you let him in? Amen. I'm glad I let him in, Brother Freddie. I'm glad I let him in. Listen, he saved my marriage. My wife was going to leave me 3 or 4 times before I got saved. Only thing kept her from it one night. She had a suitcase on the bed and was throwing clothes in it, mad as a wet hen. She said, I'm gone. I'm going to mama's, you on your own. I grabbed my suitcase, throwed it on the bed, started throwing socks and underwear in there. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going with you.
Amen, preacher.
Your uncle made me promise, till death do us part, I'm going with you.
That's right.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
I was afraid. We took that to death do us part. Pretty serious. It's a wonder she ain't killed me a time or two. Amen. Just to get out of that thing. Amen. The gift of salvation. The goal of salvation. Man, God wants you to have a full Christian life.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Thank God, man. Yep. Being saved is fun.
Yes.
We have a good time around here.
Amen.
We laugh and cut up and make fun of each other. If you don't like being made fun of, you might not like it here. Amen. We cut up and poke at one another. We have a wonderful time.
Amen.
Amen. I promise you, we have, like we had this men's fellowship, if just a stranger had walked up, I bet he'd have thought, I don't know if these people go to church here or not. They just decided to have a party out here, amen? But we do, we have a good time, and we have a good time serving God together, amen? The goal of salvation, he wants you to have a full life, and he wants you to have a fruitful life, amen? He wants you to have a fruitful life. Listen, we will spend thousands of dollars putting our children through school. Thousands of dollars. A college education now is out of this world what it costs. And parents will sacrifice and do all that. What good is it if they graduate with a degree and die and go to hell?
Amen.
Man, the first fruit any parent ought to want is to know that their children are going to heaven when they die.
Amen.
But that parent's got to know that first. The gift of salvation, the goal of salvation. Lastly, and I'm done, I want you to notice the God of salvation. The God of salvation. I lost my place in the Bible. I want to look at verse number 13. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You say, if I get saved, preacher, I can't do it. He just told you it wasn't you know how.
That's right.
Amen. That ain't good English, but it ain't you know how.
That's right.
Amen. It's God. If there's anything good about you, it's God.
Yeah.
Amen. I know some Christians, man, they're so stuck up, if it rained, they'd drown.
You're right.
They got their nose so high in the air. Amen. Man, I preach across this country. I preach in churches where a lot of times people, they'll see somewhere that I'm going to be on the internet and they've heard me preach somewhere else, so they'll just show up. And people sit out there and stare at them like a calf looking at a new gate. Who is that? That's the way they act, man, when visitors come. Who is that? What are they doing here? Man, I don't want to go to no church like that. Amen. You ain't better than nobody else.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, I've been preaching that to this crowd for years. Amen. Not better than a single one. Listen, the people that drive Cadillacs here, they ain't better than them that ride here on the bus.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
God's no respecter of persons, man.
Amen.
He died for you just like he died for
Amen.
Me.
Hallelujah.
It's God. It's God. It's not me, it's not you, it's him. If there's something good about you, it's God working in you. Amen. And that's what he started doing tonight. God, he started working in you. Amen. The God of salvation. Listen, we see the desire for God's will. That's to do a work in our life. We serve a big God. Amen. He's a powerful God. Listen, if he did what he just did a few minutes ago with Scott, he can do anything. If he changed his eternal destiny in a matter of seconds,
yes,
amen, he can help your marriage.
Right.
He can help the relationship with your children, your husband, your wife. Hey, he can help with your finances. He can help with your living situation. He can help with your job situation. He can help with your health situation. I'm telling you, we serve a powerful God tonight. And I'm glad I know him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When they were building the East River Bridge in New York City years and years ago, where they was going to put the bridge pilings, where it had to go, there was a sunken barge in the river. They tried cranes. They tried everything in the world to get that barge out of the river so they could build the East River Bridge. Nobody could come up with a solution. They were just about to scrap the whole project. And a young engineer who had just graduated from high school, fresh out of school, he said, "Can I have a try at it?" They said, "Might as well." What this young engineer did, he went and got a barge that was much larger than the sunken barge and floated that big barge out there over the other barge, and they tied big chains from the big barge down to the smaller one, but he did it at low tide. He did it at low tide. And when the tide came in, the big barge that's floating began to rise. And as it rose, it lifted that one that was sunken from the bottom. What the young engineer decided, we've tried the power of the crane. We've tried the power of the tugboat. Why don't we try the power that's already there? Amen. Just let the river do it. Amen. And they got the barge up out of there. Hey, why don't you try the power that's already there? Hey, have you ever got the one of that situation in your life where you've said, "Man, I've done everything I know to do.
Yeah.
I've done everything I know to do. Everything I've tried to fix, I screwed up worse." Yeah. And that's probably not proper to say in the pulpit, but y'all get my drift.
Yeah.
At least you're not having a hard time understanding me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Every time, man, I remember going, I was a licensed plumber by trade. I remember going to people's houses and crawl up under their sink and, oh, man, they done went and got JB Weld and two-part epoxy. And I mean, man, just I wound up charging them double because I had to undo the mess they made.
You're right.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Don't you just try the power that's already there?
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that God hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. I'm telling you, the God of salvation, He's something else. And He loves you. Hey, listen, I had an old boy tell me just this week, yesterday, Saturday morning, he said, "You don't understand, son." He's older than me. He said, God won't save somebody like me. I said, "Sir, you don't understand. He ain't met one yet that he didn't love." I get it all the time. If I was to walk in that church, a roof would cave in. Nah. He's worse than you walked in here. I told you a while ago, man, there's drug dealers in here. I don't think they got any on them now. Might check him, Daphne, before he gets. Sometimes he gets excited. I get to wondering. He talk 90 miles an hour. I cannot imagine him on drugs. By the way, he runs our drug recovery, our addictions recovery program. Amen. Amen. Who to help one better than an ex-one?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, God's something.
Yes, He is.
And He will not turn you away.
Amen.
The night I got saved, I left New Year's Eve party. Wasn't a wild party. It was just to get together at my mother-in-law's. But me and Brother Terry Fennell, when he ain't working out of town, he's usually sitting right there where Brother Shane is. He had a bottle of that North Georgia moonshine under the seat of his truck. And we was going out there nipping on that stuff throughout the night. I was pretty lit. And boy, God got dealing my heart. Somebody said, "God won't save a drunk." Did me.
Amen.
I went down stone. I come up stone cold sober, son.
Yes, sir.
God is my witness.
Amen, brother.
I'm telling you, man, I don't care where you've been, what you've done.
Amen.
Lord will help you.
Amen.
Brother Tommy, come sing a little bit more of that "He Touched Me." I like that.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet tonight. The gift of salvation, it's been provided. It's personal. God's already taken care of everything. Listen, the dollar bill of your salvation is laying on the altar. All you got to do is come get it. The gift of salvation, the goal of salvation. The Lord wants to do something in your life. And He doesn't want to make it worse. He wants to make it better. And the God of salvation, we serve one who can. We serve one who has the power to get it done. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ain't nobody looking around. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that'd just be real honest and say, "Brother Eddie, I don't want you to come to me. I don't want you to embarrass me." And I wouldn't do that, by the way. We don't drag people to the altar. But I would like to pray for you. If you just say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. If I died right now, I'm not for sure I'd go to heaven. Just remember me when you pray. I just want to pray for you if you'd slip up your hand. Wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Brother Eddie, just pray for me. I need to get that thing settled. God bless you, buddy. Anybody else? How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. If I die and you preach my funeral, you tell my family I'm in heaven. I know that for sure. I've got that settled. But boy, I got some issues. How about that? I got some needs. I got some battles and struggles that I'm facing. Pray that God would help me. Pray that God would help me. Anybody like that? Hands all over the building. Thank you for being honest tonight. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God. And Lord, we praise you for what you've already done here tonight. Thank you for Scott. Lord, that he come and got that settled in his heart about where he'll spend eternity. Now, Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised, and Father, you know every heart. Just have your way in this altar call, Lord, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.